Well, good morning, everyone. We're so glad to see everyone here this morning. Today's lesson is entitled, God is Great. How many of you know that God is great? And so we're going to be looking at Psalm 145. And so if you want to follow along in the Bible, you can. Turn to the book of Psalms, and we're looking specifically at Psalm 145. And our unit of study has been selected Psalms of David. Today's lesson is the final lesson of the selected Psalms of David. Next week, we're going into a new unit of study, going through the book of Hebrews. And so that one will be an exciting one. The book of Hebrews is an excellent book. Especially, it's very descriptive in regards to our place in Christ. Specifically, it really brings out the new covenant. And so I look forward to the book of Hebrews. But today, we will be looking at God is Great. And the Psalms of David are words that are useful and used quite often to encourage the believer. For the one that is struggling, one of the Psalms, I'm sure, will speak to that struggling individual. For those that are excited and rejoicing, there are plenty of Psalms of rejoicing. For those that are discouraged and just need to hear an encouraging word, the Psalms are filled with many of these words to help those that are discouraged, those that need encouragement, those that are struggling, those that are happy, those that are sad. And so today again, we'll be looking at Psalm 145 and specifically looking at God is Great. And so let's go ahead and open in prayer and we will begin. Father, we thank you for who you are in our lives. We are grateful that, Lord, even though we don't always understand everything, we know that you are still in control. You truly are our strong tower. We can run into you and be safe. And so I pray that, Lord, you would bless the study this morning as we look at how great you are. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit and for your blessing. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. Psalm 145, God is great. Our central truth this morning is that the greatness of God evokes our worship. When we begin to see the greatness, the majesty, the all-powerful power of the God that we serve, it begins to evoke our worship. That means that it begins to provoke us, it encourages, it almost just comes out of us a life of praise. Because when we know God and we're walking with Him and we have been through the thick and through the thin and we see God intervening in our lives, we can't help but worship Him. We can't help but turn around and say, Lord, thank you. There are times in our lives that we go through things that we really do not understand. Sometimes we can go through things that we will even raise questions to God and say, why? But no matter what it is, if you will hold on to His hand and stay with your eyes upon Jesus, you will see in the end that God will show Himself faithful to you. And so don't ever grow discouraged in a way to say, well, God, you allowed this into my life, or why did this happen? You're not good, so I'm just going to, I can't follow you anymore. That is, the enemy is trying to lure us away from God. But even when those things happen that we can't fully figure out, we've got to understand that God is great and God is in control. Amen? This psalm, Psalm 145, is actually one of the psalms of praise. And so there is a lot of praise contained within. Within this psalm, David gives a praise and a worship to God that we will begin to see, and we'll see even why as well. The key verse today is in Psalm 145. And it's verse 3. Does anybody want to read Psalm 145, verse 3?
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable.
Great is the Lord. That's what our lesson is all about, right? God is great. God is great, and it says greatly to be praised. His greatness, in my version it says, is unfathomable. That means that we cannot fully comprehend how great God really is. We need to remember, as human beings, we are limited in our understanding. We do not have a full grasp of the unfathomable greatness of who God is. That means that our limited understanding can't understand some things about who God is. But that also helps us to know, if we look at God and we understand how great He actually is in our limited understanding, can you imagine our understanding is only limited? That means that there is quite a bit more to knowing God. Amen. You know, I look forward to the day when we're outside of this wicked world and we're with Him. Because there we'll be able to know Him in a greater degree because of the fact that the limitations that we have now will not be there then. And so, what a day that will be. Amen? And so, God truly is great. And David was the man of God that knew his God. And because he knew God, he was able to express to those that would sing his songs, and for those of us that read the Psalms, he would be able to express the greatness of God because he knew God. You see, there are a lot of people in this world that say, oh, I know that God exists. I believe in God. But that's different than knowing God. Amen. The acknowledgement that there is a God is a no-duh situation, to be honest with you. Amen. I mean, if a person is really honest with themselves, they have to come to the place of the acknowledgement that God does exist. God has put within every human being the desire to know, why am I here? What is my purpose? What is life? What's the reason, the meaning of life? And all of those questions will not be fully answered until that person comes face to face with God. But when that person comes into a relationship with God, everything about who they are, their place in the world, why we are, why this world is, will make sense when God is in the picture. David knew who God was. He was intimate with God. He had a relationship with God. And in his relationship with God, he experienced God. When you are in a relationship with someone, you experience them in your life, don't you? And so the more a person experiences and knows God, they will begin to see and begin to experience the greatness, the vastness of who God is. And in the same way that David expressed praise to God and glorified God, we will do the same. Truly, praise is evoked from a relationship with God. God, you have been good. Lord, you have been faithful. Lord, you've come through. And so this is what God wants to do in all of our lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, let's get into our lesson. First, David begins to proclaim the Lord's greatness. To proclaim means to speak about, right? Or to even shout out, to make a proclamation. To proclaim the Lord's greatness, well, first, there is exalting our King. Verses 1 through 3, the more that we know God, like I said, we will begin to exalt Him. We will begin to lift His name on high. Verses 1 through 3, does anybody want to read those verses from Psalm 145?
I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness is no one can't fathom.
His greatness no one can fathom. That's true. Unfathomable. Sometimes I can't say that word. I've been saying it pretty good today. God is great. And so the psalmist, Psalm David, begins to express his desire to exalt the Lord. He wants to lift high the name of who God is. And this psalm can divide it in many different ways. But one of the ways is, first you see God's greatness in verses 1 through 6. You see the greatness of our God. Secondly, you see God's goodness in verses 7 through 10. Then you see God's kingdom in verses 11 through 13. And then God's care in verses 14 through 21. But David was a worshiper of God, and he knew his God, and therefore this relationship with God brought him to the place of exalting God as his King, the true ruler of the universe. You know, we must understand that God is big. God is Almighty God. He's not limited to space or time like we are. He's outside of time. He's able to see the future just like he can see the past. And this is beyond us. But God is the king and ruler over the whole universe. Everything doesn't escape his eye. He understands and knows all things. And when we understand the greatness of God, we begin to come to the place of exalting him, because that person, talking about God himself, is involved in our lives. Now remember this, he's involved in our lives because we involve him there. God has made man and has given man the most powerful thing, and that's called free will. God created man with free will. And so God left that free will intact with every human being, and he has made himself to be known. But he ultimately leaves the choice of wanting him or rejecting him to you. I heard someone say recently that true love isn't coerced. In other words, you don't make a person love, because then it's not true love. True love is always voluntary. I choose to love. And God created man with a free will ultimately to choose for or against him. It's either one way or the other. There's no middle ground. You're either for God or against him. I want God in my life, or you don't want God in. I don't want God in my life, either way, right? It's free will. David was a man who had said, God, I want you in my life. And because he had expressed that desire, he not only said, God, I want you in my life, but he sought God with all of his heart to know who God is. And in knowing who God is, he began to understand, not only because he was Jewish, not because he was a part of the old covenant and knew God from the literature and the writings of Moses and others. Yes, he understood these things, but he also sought the Lord with all of his heart and experienced God. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He had faith in God. He knew who God was and became convinced of who God is. Not just because of the words that talked about him. Not because of the Jewish sages that talked about him. Not because of the prophets that spoke in his place to the masses. He had a personal encounter with God. And that personal encounter brought him to the place of exalting the Lord as king. He understood that he is sovereign. He is in control. And it was beautiful to see how that David knew him this way. Now, he says, I'm going to exalt you, my God and my King. I will bless your name forever and ever. His desire is to worship and bless the Lord always, not just on Sunday mornings, amen? Not just on a Wednesday night or during a good Christian program that we see on television, but a heart of worship. See, a heart of worship is something that can be expressed towards God throughout every day, all day, 7 days a week. It doesn't mean you walk through the house singing these songs, or that you have to just always be, you know, almost fake around people just to show how spiritual you are. God's not impressed with any of that. He doesn't want us to be look like this religious person, you know, dressed with religious garb and saying all the religious words. You know, you come around somebody in church and you have to say brother about 1,000 times. Hey, brother. How you doing, brother? You know, or you see a sister. Hey, sister, sister. You don't have to do that. Call them by their regular name. You're not doing wrong to call them by their first name. Amen. Follow what I'm saying. The religious cliches that we do as Christians sometimes is unnecessary. It doesn't make you holier. It doesn't add to your witness. Sometimes it actually hurts it. There at the Bible school, you know, we were at first, when I first came in as a student, we'd call everyone brother and sister, you know. Sister Catherine, Brother Ray, you know, our teachers, Brother Joe. We use those words. You know, in Christianity, we do it quite a bit, don't we? Hey, brother, hey, sister, you know. And sometimes we do it just because we don't know their name. So instead of saying, hey, Pedro, you know, I'll say, hey, brother, you know, just because I really forgot his name. So it's just easier to cover it in general. You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes we can do that. There at the school, we used to use those words, and over time, we began to kind of pull away from that and say, just call the people by their regular names. Because sometimes we can just cover things with religious garb. And sometimes we think, oh, as a Christian, I better say brother and sister because we're supposed to do that, but it's not biblical. There's no biblical command for it. Now, did they do that in the Bible? Well, yes. But does that mean you have to do it? Because if you don't do it, you're sinning? No. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I'm not saying if you call somebody brother or sister, you're doing wrong. Please don't misunderstand. But I'm saying at the same time, if you don't want to say it, you don't have to either. Amen? Why am I saying all that? I'm saying all that because sometimes we can cover things with religiosity when God isn't impressed with religiosity at all. He wants you and He wants your heart and He wants you to be real. Amen? And so when you come into God's presence, just be who you are. Be real with God. He loves you for who you are. You don't have to pretend. Amen? And so one generation, or He says here, every day I will bless you, He says. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unfathomable. Amen? And so all of that to say, you can have a worship towards God that is daily, all day, but it's being expressed within. A joy that is overflowing. Lord, I love you. I thank you. It doesn't always have to be outward or vocalized. It could be inward, but your heart is worshiping Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, moving forward, David begins to speak of God's works. Look at verses 4 through 7. Psalm 145, verses 4 through 7. Anybody want to read those verses?
One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness.
Praise the Lord. What is beautiful about this portion of Scripture in regards to speaking of God's works is that we as adults, now hear what I'm about to say, it's our responsibility as adults to draw near to God, to know Him so that we can begin to experience God in our lives. Not just so that we can say we have an experience with God alone. But it's also because our children, the young ones that we are influential over, they can begin to look at our lives and see something is different about that person. You can be an example to your children. You can be an example to those that are under you if you work with children in any avenue, in any way, in Sunday school or even in any community kinds of positions. Young children look to adults as examples. They look at how we act. They look at what we do. And so we, in a way, sometimes are mentoring people without even realizing it. But young people are looking at our lives and we're the ones that are responsible to begin to bring the young people or the next generation into an understanding of who God is. But they're not going to want it if they're not seeing the beauty of God in our experience. Amen? And so it's very important to see how that David begins to bring that out in verse 4. He says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." When you have a relationship with God, God is going to do things in your life so that you can have a testimony. That testimony is something that you don't have to say, oh, I want to testify in church. Now you can and should, but it also extends out to expressing that testimony to those little ears and those little hands and feet that are looking at your life. That they will see that the reason why you're the person that you are is because God is at work in your life. Amen? Sometimes the greatest examples that a young person can have is someone that truly loves the Lord, that they see in their life faithfulness, integrity. They see in that life, they see someone that can be trusted. They see someone that cares, someone that is like God is. But David brings out the importance of passing this knowledge of who God is to the next generation. It won't happen if we are in relationship with God. Sometimes the next generation is discouraged and turns away from God because God has been made to be just a hard taskmaster. You know, that's why sometimes you have even preachers' kids turn from the Lord, don't even follow after God. And it's because they see, you know, it's just a big hypocritical life. You say one thing in church and yet they see that you're not living what you proclaim at home. Now, they got to know our humanity. You know, I'm the preacher and I have kids that are preachers' kids. And they have to know I'm human just like they are. You all follow what I'm saying? But on the other hand, they need to see that God is truly very real in our lives, and we need to extend that to our children, amen? Or to those that we are an influence over in the way that we can. God will give you the know-how and the wisdom, amen? But it's our responsibility to pass that on, and we need to declare His mighty acts. And He says, I will speak of the glorious honor of Your majesty, of Your wondrous works. I'm going to speak of You to them. They will speak of the might of Your awesome acts, and I will declare Your greatness. They shall abundantly declare the fame of Your great goodness and shall sing of Your righteousness. You see, ultimately, it's bringing them into that relationship with God. You know, it's important to understand that because our children sometimes can be raised in church, and yet they feel because I've been raised in church with my family, well, then I'm good. You know, my parents serve the Lord, so that means I'm covered. Now, in a way, there's a portion of truth in that, but it's not all true. Even our own children, or those that we are an influence over, that little individual, that child, that young adult, that person that is in our home or that we minister to in our lives, that individual needs to come into a personal encounter with God. Because it needs to be not, oh, they said this or they said this about God. Rather, it needs to come into the place where I have experienced God and God has done this in my life. Because it's that relationship with God that will carry over to the next generation. If it's just what everybody said, then when that person stands before a hard trial, they stand before an unbeliever, someone that is going to counter them and try to knock them off their faith horse, if you will, they won't be able to stand. Because it's not real for them. It's only they said. It's not, I know who God is. Amen? And so that personal relationship with God gives them a foundation that they can stand, even in the heat of a trial or what have you that can come their way. You see, when you know who God is, even if you go through an intense struggle, even a place of doubt or, you know, even questioning just whatever, you know, when you know who God is, there is that side where you just say, Lord, I don't understand. I'm going to put my hand in Yours by faith and I'm going to believe You to carry me through. Amen? Because You've done this in the past. You've been faithful up to this point. You're not going to leave me alone. And so you trust Him and He's going to bring you through. Amen? Number two in the lesson is the Lord is gracious. Now, again, as we get to know who God is, not only are we going to know how big He is and how powerful He is and mighty, we're also going to begin to experience His graciousness in our lives. God is gracious. That means He's going to display and show His kindness and His mercy towards us even when we don't deserve it. Have you ever been in the place where you know you don't deserve God's mercy? And yet, in His mercy, He forgives you. Amen? You ask God for grace, and you know you shouldn't have done it, but you still did. It's God's grace that forgives. God is gracious. Verses 8 through 13, I'll read these ones if you don't mind. It says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His compassion is over all His works. All Your works shall praise You, O Lord, and Your godly one shall bless You. They shall speak of the glory of Your kingdom and talk of Your power, to make known to people His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your dominion endures throughout all generations. This portion of Scripture begins to bring out really the intimate knowledge that one receives when they draw near to God. Moses in the Old Testament, in a time during the wilderness wandering and in his seeking after God, came to the point and said, "Lord, show me your glory." How many remember that story? Moses begins to say, "Lord, show me your glory. I want to see you and I want to just experience your glory. Show me your glory," he began to say. And the Lord said, "Well, you got to go in here. There's a cleft in the rock. You go into that cleft of the rock. I'm going to pass by you. You're going to be able to see my body, but you can't see my face, or you won't live," right? And the scripture says that when that took place and the Lord passed by him and he saw God in his form, the words were expressed the same as this: "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy." And when you begin to draw close to God, this is who you are going to encounter. God is not going to come to you and say, "You better get out of my presence now." No, he's going to say, and you're going to begin to understand his graciousness and compassion. That's who God is. Gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and great in mercy. I remember one time I was at a service. I won't say where and with whom. It wasn't it was like 20 years ago or more. But I was in a service and there was a minister that was visiting that particular church. And he was, you know, quote unquote, known to give words and really used of the Lord with the gifts. And so I had heard about it along with some others. And so we said, "Let's go check it out. Let's go see what God's doing over there." So we went. And I remember that minister began to speak from the Bible, and he started with the scripture, but then after the scripture, he kind of didn't stay in the scripture and began to speak about things concerning God that were heavy. He began to say that there was someone that in his family that wasn't following God, they weren't serving God right, and all of a sudden God made their child really sick. And so that little child was ready to die. It was some kind of sickness. And the reason why that baby was sick was because that person wasn't serving God anymore the way that they should. And so I was like, "Oy," you know. And then all of a sudden they began to say another story about somebody else that did something, you know, supposedly against God, and now all of this horrible things were happening in their lives. And I'm there listening, and I was a kind of a younger believer then. I didn't know as many biblical things like I do now. But I remember something just didn't sit right. But yet I just didn't know why it wasn't sitting right, because I thought he was speaking for God. And I remember when I left that service, there was a heaviness over me that I could not explain. All of a sudden, my view of God was being challenged. I knew God to be gracious and kind and compassionate. But now I'm seeing God as this ruthless, mean God that if you don't serve God, you miss a Sunday of church. All of a sudden, all hell's going to break loose against you. Disease is going to come into your family. And I thought, no. And I remember I was at home and I was just this heaviness. I mean, seriously. And it was just horrible. And I remember that night I began to pray and I said, "Lord, that's not you. That's not who you are." And this heaviness just was on me. And I said, "This is not correct. There's something wrong about what I heard. That is not you. You are not that kind of God." And so I remember I turned to that story of Moses and the glory passing by, and all of a sudden, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy." And I remember, yes, that's who you are. I read through the book of Jonah. You all remember Jonah and the whale? Jonah's running away from the will of God. He gets swallowed by a whale. You all know the story, right? And then all of a sudden, he says, "Okay, Lord, I'll do what you're calling me to do." And so he goes and preaches to the Ninevites. They all repent. Remember that? But then Jonah gets a little frustrated. He said, "Lord, you should have just got rid of them." That's in essence what he was saying. Because he sits there outside the town and he's waiting for God's judgment to fall on the Ninevites. You all remember that? Instead, God forgives them. They repented. God has mercy, shows his gracefulness to them. And so then Jonah's sitting there and God allows that plant to grow to provide shade. You all remember that, right? And so he's all, you know, comfortable and sitting in the cool shade of that plant. But it was a plant that didn't live too long and died right away. And so then all of a sudden he's all frustrated and he says, Lord, why did you let that plant die so fast? And then the Lord responded, why are you having so much compassion on the plant and not on these individuals in Nineveh that have repented before me? Why are you more concerned about a plant than these people who have an eternal soul? Why are you worried about it, Jonah? And so then the Lord begins to remind him these very words. He's gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all his works. That's a good God. And so I remember I looked at that story of Jonah, and I was reminded again of the God that I serve. And I remember I began to pray, and I began to even shout in that prayer time, I remember. And I remember, as I prayed through that situation, I remember when that spirit of heaviness was broken, and it left. And that condemning spirit was canceled out, and I was able to get back to knowing who God really is. It was horrible, the heaviness that I felt. You see, the God that we serve is a good God. The God that we serve is a great God. Amen? And I'm telling you what, when you know God and you are loving Him, you will be discerning as to who God is. And when there is a liar out there, or someone speaking in another spirit that is contrary to who God really is, you will know it. Amen? It's just like Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Amen? He said, my sheep know my voice. Why? Well, because the sheep are always around the shepherd. And he says, if there's a stranger that comes into the fold, they'll say, who is that? And they'll run away. They won't go near that stranger. And so David knew who God was and expressed it here. When you know who God is, you'll express him correctly to those around you. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord for that. But David knew who God was. And he said, I am going to express this to all. Look at verse 10. He says, all your works will praise you, O Lord, and your godly ones will bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to people his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Sometimes we don't understand why God even allows us to go through questionable trials. Lord, why did you let this happen? I mean, for real? Now? And sometimes you wonder, like, why? Yet it's in those situations in our lives that we shouldn't run away from God, rather run to God. Because if there is anyone that's going to help you to make sense with everything, it's going to be God. You won't know the reason why. We don't know the reasons as to why. But God is eternal. God is omniscient. He does know. It might take a little while for understanding to come. Sometimes we won't understand until we get there and we're with Him in heaven and we look over the span of our life in the presence of God and He begins to show us, look, this is why. Remember when that happened and you didn't understand why? Look, all of this around it and this is why. Amen? I remember Sister Louise, who recently passed, she would tell me a story how she was going to the Del Norte Church a little while back with Brother Joe Archuleta. And she was on her way to church one Wednesday night, you know, to the Wednesday night service. And as she was on her way to the church, she just kept feeling in her heart, in her spirit, an unrest. She kept saying, something was telling her, don't go. So she's like, but why? I'm going to church, for crying out loud. What's going on? And so she was. So the further she was driving out of Monta Vista, the stronger it was getting. So before you know it, she's passing, you know, where the Big R is. And she's like, even just something was telling her, don't go to church. So she ends up getting, you know, like where that Spanish Trail monument thing is. She says she was right around there, and she says she finally just, there's no cars coming, she pulled a U-turn and went back home. And she would say, you know, one day I'll finally be able to ask God why I was so uncomfortable with going, but she obeyed the Lord and didn't go. She didn't know on this side why. You know, was it that there was a deer in the road, or was there the potential of an accident that God was trying to stop her from getting involved in? We don't know. But I'm sure now she does. She knows exactly why that is. Another time she was telling a story. She was driving, and I don't remember where this location was, but she was driving already in the dusk. It was already getting towards evening. The sun is behind the mountain. She all of a sudden heard the Holy Spirit say, there's a cow on the road. Slow down. And she's like, you know, she didn't see anything. So eventually she came to an overpass, and she did slow down. And after she came to the overpass and kept going, all of a sudden there was in the middle of the road a black, dark cow right in the middle of the road. And so she was thankful she heard the voice of the Lord that said, there's a cow on the road. And so she was going slow enough to avoid disaster. There are sometimes things in our lives we don't understand. Hindrances. You ever heard of divine delays? Divine delays. It's like you have to get over there and everything is slowing you down and you don't get there. You end up getting there late. You ever been there? I remember one time I was working at Kmart. This was back before I went to Pennsylvania and Kmart was still around. I was working, and I worked the night shift, and in the morning I was going to get me a little snack, and I was going to pay for it with my whatever discount I had from Kmart, because I was an employee. I took advantage of that. So I was going through the aisle, and I was about to go through the register and pay for it, and all of a sudden when I got there, the worker, a fellow worker, was going to run me through, and all of a sudden when I was there, she started crying and left. So I stayed there standing, and I'm like, well, I felt bad for her because something, it wasn't because of me, something, she remembered something, something happened, she started crying and left me there. And there wasn't any other worker to beat me through, and so I stayed waiting there. Eventually, she turned around, and she's wiping her eyes, and she comes back, and she scans me through, and I pay, and I take off. I was driving back home that day, and you know where Estrella is, right there, going towards La Jara. And right there, probably about 5 minutes before I got there, there was a major accident right there. And I remember when I was passing to there, and I was like, because I didn't understand what happened to that poor lady. You know, poor thing. I mean, she was crying. But it was a delay. I didn't want to stay there. I wanted to go home. Man, I was tired. I had been working all night. And yet, had I left at the appropriate time, I could have been the one in that accident right there in that turn of Estrella. And so maybe it was a divine delay. Was it coincidence? I doubt it. God has a way of slowing us down, sometimes even without us realizing it. And sometimes he'll do major things to stop us. Are you sure, Pastor? Yeah. Y'all remember Balaam in the Bible? Balaam was out to do some things that he shouldn't do, and he was on his donkey. Y'all remember? And he's there, and he's all of a sudden the donkey's stubborn and it's not moving. And he gets all frustrated with that donkey. Y'all remember? And he starts to whip it. And he keeps trying to go forward, and the donkey's still not moving, and he starts to beat up the poor donkey. And so he starts to beat up on it some more, and all of a sudden the donkey turns around and says, don't you see the angel in the way? The donkey starts talking to Balaam, for crying out loud. Sometimes we don't realize, but God is hindering us from getting to where we want to go because of the potential of something happening over there. There are things we don't understand sometimes. But when we are with him, we'll understand some of those things. Some of those things will make sense now, but some of those we will not have an answer until we get home with Jesus. Amen? But you serve a good God that is aware of all your surroundings and circumstances. And when you're praying, Lord, watch over my life. Watch over my family. Take care of me. Take care of the church. Lord, watch over the people. Keep them safe when they drive. Bless them at work. Bless their finances. Watch over them. Amen? We're praying for you. You're praying for your own families. And all that prayer is going on. God is going to be faithful to watch over you. Amen? And sometimes you'll have things happen that don't make sense. But God, he's the one that's going to make sense of it all. Praise the Lord. The Lord is gracious. Amen? He's got grace and compassion, and he manifests his glory just like he's showing here. And ultimately, we will make his glory known because we know him. Amen? Now, last but not least, let's move forward here. Wait, did we do the other one? He's entirely trustworthy. Verses 13 through 15. He's entirely trustworthy. That means you can trust him. God's not going to fail you. Amen? Verses 13 through 15. Anybody want to read those verses? 13 through 16, actually.
Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all the weight of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing.
It's a powerful section of scripture there, because it begins to bring out that, first of all, his dominion endures throughout all generations. He's not just good to the past generations or those, you know, of back in the day when they lived more moral lives. You know, today we're living in a time when there's a lot of immorality in comparison to the days of our grandparents. Amen? It's a different day, I mean. But God, in his mercy and faithfulness, hasn't just stayed there. He's faithful even to our generation. Amen? But it says, the Lord upholds all who fall, and raises up all who are bowed down. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times I know where I'm walking, spiritually speaking, and I trip and fall. Sometimes I make mistakes, just like we all do. Amen? But the Lord is the one that upholds those who fall. You see, he's not there to kick you when you're down. That's not the God we serve. It's Satan that does that. If you ever trip up and fall, spiritually speaking, or something, a mistake, something happens, and all of a sudden you're feeling condemned as if God's mad at you for it, you got to discern it and understand it's not God that's condemning you. It's the liar. It's the devil that's doing that. Amen? Because the Lord desires to uphold those who fall, to help them up, to give them the ability to stand secure. But it also says he raises up all who are bowed down. And you know what that picture is presenting, right? Because normally when we're discouraged, when we're going through a trial, we're heavy, things just aren't working out right, you know, and you are just going through one of those seasons in life, you know, you tend to be walking more bowed down, aren't you? When you're discouraged or you're sad, you tend to bow down. It's a look of sadness, a look of heaviness. But it's the Lord's desire, it says here, to raise up those who are bowed down. You see, the Lord wants to bring you through. He wants to give you understanding. He wants to encourage you. He wants you to be a person that will square your shoulders and hold your head high. Amen? Because he's faithful. Now, yes, there are times that you will go through a season like that. Listen, we can't be ignorant as Christians and act like, oh, because you follow God, everything's going to just go perfectly well and you're never going to go through a trial or a season of heaviness. To say that would be a lie. It's just not true. There is no possible way for you to even develop endurance in your spiritual walk without facing a storm or two. It's impossible. There is no way for you to grow strong in the Lord without at times experiencing times of opposition. That's why the scripture says that he teaches our hands to fight and our fingers to war. You didn't enter into a life that is going to be exempt of pain or suffering or hurt. That's just not a fact. And for those preachers on television who seem to promote that kind of walk, they're lying to the masses. They need to preach the word of God, the truth of scripture. Amen? Now, don't misunderstand. Yes, God can give you joy in the midst of your trial, but that doesn't mean there aren't any trials. Amen? And so he is the one that will help those that are bowed down, those that fall. And it says, the eyes of all that wait upon you, you will give them food in due season. He's going to provide for you. Just like Jesus said, the birds of the field, the birds of the air and the Flowers of the field, right? Birds are in the field too, but he will give you food in due season. He says, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. He will not only give you your needs to live, the things you need to live, food, clothes, but then he also goes on to dissatisfy your desires. Amen? Desires are over and above your needs. Amen? And he's able to even supply those things. We serve a good God. He's a faithful God. And he is looking out for your best. Can you say praise the Lord to that? Now lastly, the Lord is faithful. He is faithful. And I'm so glad that that's the God that we serve. Verses 17 through 20. And I'll read this if you don't mind. It says, the Lord is righteous in all of his ways. I want you to say all. He is righteous in all of his ways and loving in all his works. I want you to say all again. He's loving and righteous in all his ways and works. The Lord is near to all those who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him, and he will also hear the cry and will save them. The Lord preserves all those who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. The Lord is for his own. He loves you, and you've got to understand that his heart is also toward the wicked. Well, what are you trying to say, Pastor? The Lord loves you especially as his own. You've chosen him, he's for you. Amen? But the wicked out there, and what it's describing here, that he will destroy the wicked, this is describing the person that doesn't want God in their lives. But there are some people who have turned away from the living God, who are now in a wicked lifestyle. Follow what I'm saying. But God will do all that he can without forcing the will to get them to turn back to him. He won't force them. The decision is theirs. And that's why sometimes the Lord will even allow a storm to affect them. Sometimes it's a heavy, awful storm that'll affect that individual. And the reason for that is because God ultimately wants them to call out to him, to turn back to him. Not away, towards. Amen? A lot of the times that storm is the result of their own doing. Do you all hear what I'm saying? Sometimes that storm is the result of their own choices, their own doing in life. And God allows it to go that route so that they can see the error of their ways and turn back to him. It's like the prodigal son story. He said, I'm going to live on my father's wealth. I'll be okay. I don't need my dad. I don't need anything. I'm going to go and live it up. So he let him have his way, didn't he? He lived it up and it was all wasted. In the midst of all that, without any intervention, he's lost it all. He's starving. It's rough sailing for him. And eventually it was then that he came to himself and snapped. My father, right? And he came back and his father ran to meet him. Sometimes God will allow us to have what we want. Sometimes he does what he can to hinder us from getting it. But sometimes we're like, God, I want it so bad, and he'll let us have it. And then in the end, it ends up biting us. It's like they say, if you play with a rattler, you're bound to get bit, right? So we want to go our way. We want to go after what we want. And sometimes we're not counting the cost of it. We're not thinking it through. We think, oh, if I had this, or if I went there and did that, I'd finally be able. And we have sin as a way of reasoning things to get it, right? It's called the deceivableness of sin. It's deceptive. So it convinces us to try to go that route, but we need to stop and think it through before we take that plunge, amen? Because then the repercussions of that can end up worse, and then we're like, oh, that's why God was trying to stop me from doing that. And so all of that to say that the Lord is the one that will be faithful to all of us. Amen. He's righteous and he is near. And the scripture says that he is near all those that will call upon him and call upon him in truth. When it says call upon him in truth, it's describing, you see, that there's many people in the world that now when they're in a horrible time, all of a sudden God's so real to them, right? Pray for me. Pray for me. You know, oh, I believe God will help me through this. And then all of a sudden everything goes well, and then They're not, you know, everything about serving the Lord is gone. I mean, it was only for a little bit, and it was really not in truth. You all hear what I'm saying? God wants us to call upon Him in truth. Lord, I want You because I want You. I want You not just because I'm going through a hard time right now. I want You to take me through this, and then once we're done, we'll part our ways. That's not the way God is, right? We serve God in the good and in the bad times. We serve God because we want to serve God. And when you want to serve God, it's a kind of relationship that will endure, right? You know, when we get married, we don't get married just so that we can, have pleasure for a season and then we're done, we'll just move on. That's not the way it works, right? You get married because you are in a relationship, and because you've committed to each other, it will endure. Amen? But if it's only for a certain thing, and when that thing is gone, then so be it. Nah, it's not the way it is, right? Sometimes people get married to someone, oh, they're so pretty, oh, they're so beautiful, right? Oh, he's so cute and handsome, right? Then a few years down the road, man, it's just not there anymore, right? When I first got married, I was thinner and cuter, and then just like that, man, I was puffing up. And you don't marry for the looks, you marry for the person, amen? Now, it's not that looks are bad, don't misunderstand. I mean, if God has given us looks, you know, we should dress nice, look nice for God's glory, not for our own. Amen? But follow what I'm saying. You marry the person. It's the same thing. You serve God because of who God is, not just for what you can get, not just to help you through a particular time and then forsake. That's just not the way it works. Amen? And that's the way it is with God. And David understood this. Last but not least, verse 21, talking about the Lord is faithful. David ultimately praises His name, and he says, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all people bless His holy name." Amen? Praise His name. And to be honest with you, the byproduct of a knowledge of God, of a relationship with God, is going to birth a heart of praise. It's going to birth it. I mean, you're just going to say, "Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord, that you know, You pulled through here. Thank You." Right? I thought this, and Lord, You came through. Thank You. You ever been there? But God is going to work forth and develop a praise life in your life. And it's going to be the result of knowing God. Amen? And it's just the byproduct of it. And praise the Lord for that. David understood that because he was in relationship with God. David made some mistakes. He was a human being. He was not superhuman. I mean, he messed up like we talked about a few weeks ago. I mean, he displayed his humanity like very few in the Bible, right? But yet, through it all, he was able to say, "God has been faithful," and he praised the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the Psalms of David. We thank You for all of the Psalms that we've covered so far. And Lord, we do thank You that, Lord, as we know You for who You are, You will show Yourself strong on our behalf. You said in Your word that Your eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Yourself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards You. And so I pray, Lord, that You would be true to that promise. For Lord, there are many in this room today that, Lord, want to be very true to You, and so show Yourself strong in their lives. Lord, there are some who are discouraged, Lord. They have questions. I pray that You would be faithful to bring an answer to some of those questions that only You can answer. I pray that, Lord, You would be with everyone that is here today, and we thank You for these words. Help us to be those that are developing a praise life because, Lord, of what You're doing in and through our lives. Help us to draw near to You, and we pray that You would be true to Your word and draw near to us. And Lord, we thank You for it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you all. Go ahead and go around and greet one another.